thanks for joining us on Primary Perspectives, radio created for kids by kids.
Hi everyone, it's time for Primary Perspectives, radio created for kids by kids. Thanks for joining us on our debut show, national and international. Yep, that's right, Primary Perspectives is going national across Australia via CRN and international via earthpreservers.com in USA. And we are all very excited. We are looking forward to hearing from some of our new listeners and finding out where they are in this beautiful country and wonderful world of ours. What a show we have lined up for you. We will be hearing from 11-year-old Pavan Raj Gowda all the way from America. Pavan has joined the Primary Perspectives team as our first ever global roaming reporter. Of course, we would love to have reporters from all over the world, so jump on our website primaryperspectives.info or email kids@wwmn.net and let us know if you would like to join our team.
Yep, how cool is that, Muni? CRN stands for Community Radio Network, and as from this time next week, Primary Perspectives will be able to heaps of stations around Australia. This means our live show will be going out a week later on the same day and time via CRN. Tuesdays 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so if you're listening right now via streaming, you can perhaps call your local station and ask if they can broadcast Primary Perspectives for you in your local area. This show will also be going out weekly in USA on www.earthpreservers.com. Awesome.
Totally awesome, Liam. I have cousins in Germany who would love to hear the show. Perhaps we can send it to Europe too. So today we will also be speaking with Steph McKenzie from Animal Tracks about some very cool, or at least cold-blooded, creatures. Can you guess what these might be? Steph joined us in the studio on one of our first shows back in 2010, and you can see a video and some fun pictures on our site, primaryperspectives.info. Today we'll be talking about some more of, yep, you guessed it, her reptile friends, like Jerry the Lace Monitor and some rather large snakes.
We also have our weekly wonder words to keep your brain ticking and tongue clicking that are sure to impress your family, friends, teachers, or maybe even a python or two. And for our Diffuse the News segment this week, we will be covering some excellent surfing news, discovering if it is really possible to turn a desert into a forest, and for another sandy tale, looking at sand art on a grand scale.
Looking forward to today's gritty news items. Hey team, if you missed last week's show, the team spoke with Dr. Alicia Kennedy, chairman of Jane Goodall Institute, Australia, to find out all the latest news from JGI as part of our monthly Roots and Shoots segment from Little Things, Big Things Grow. Alicia told us about the change challenge, which involves making little changes for 21 days that will have a big impact on our planet. It's such a great idea. Let's hope everyone gets involved. Check out at janegoodall.org.au to find out more.
Well, I'm definitely signing up for the challenge, Jeremy. We also spoke with 11-year-old Hannah about her Roots and Shoots journey. Hannah's group, RNS Rangers, have a particular focus on supporting the eco-guards who work in the JGI program in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Hannah was also our guest host for the show and did an amazing job. Well done, Hannah. Great to have you on the show.
You know, we always love to receive your comments, so jump on our website and say hi by clicking on the speech bubble on any post or podcast, or send us some ideas for topics you would like us to cover to kids@wwmn.net. And if you can't quite hear us on your dial, you can go to www.primaryperspectives.info and click on the streaming icon to listen live anywhere in the world. And next week, you can check out your local station and see if they are broadcasting the show too.
Enjoy this great local Aussie song, and we'll be right back to hear from our new global reporter, Pavan Raj Gowda, in USA, and his guest, Mr. Jim Callahan.
as time flies by. Across the borders, to the desert plains, I see the farmer dancing in the rain. Some speak from the Alice, as I sing from, as I sing from the grave. This great country of ours, the truth goes round and round. From Melbourne to Sydney, seen plenty of dust. One by one, our trees grow so tall. One by one, our heritage is all gone. Second, you'll hear the sacred call. It's wild, it's free, it's as though it's right next to me. One by one, our civilization grows. One by one, our heritage is all so.
It's time for personal perspectives,
young voices from around our planet.
It's a big world, it's a big world.
That track was The Great Divide by Mark Gardner, and we thought we'd play a local Aussie track for our new global listeners. Do you know there are very few songs ever written that mention our beautiful city of Melbourne? Well done, Mark, for coming up with one. And now we are really excited to introduce to you one of our newest international member of the team, Pavan Raj Gowda. Pavan lives in California in America, and he is 11 years old. He is a passionate environmentalist and founder of Green Kids Now, a non-profit organization. He is also a published author and was a winner of this International Youth Award last year. Pretty impressive, huh, guys?
Very impressive. Because of the time difference, as we move into winter and Parvin moves into summer in California, it's a bit too late to speak with Parvin live, so we're about to play his interview that he recorded with Mr. Jim Callahan, founder of Climate Change Education in USA, who will also be speaking about why climate change education is so important. Let's hear what he has to say. Take it away, Parvin.
Good day, everyone. This is Parvin Rajgada from Green Kids Now, reporting from California, USA. Today's topic, climate change, is very important for all of us to understand. And my guest today is going to help us have a clearer understanding of this topic. Mr. Jim Callahan has been a climate change educator for over 12 years. I've known Jim for over a year now, and I can tell you that when you see him talk about climate change, he gets very passionate about it and truly enjoys performing hands-on science experiments to teach and raise awareness on climate change. So, here is Mr. Jim Callahan, founder of ClimateChangeEducation.org, a great web portal for anything related to climate change, and has resources from all around the world for teachers, students, and for everyone who wants to do something with climate change. Hi, Jim. Welcome, and thanks for your time today.
Hi, Pavan. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
So, Jim, could you please explain to us what climate change is?
Oh, that's a big subject. Climate change, of course, means all sorts of different things about how what the climate is, what the weather is like over long periods of time in a particular area. Is it rainy? Is it snowy? Is it floods? Is it windy? We're seeing changes all around the world. But the subject can be what naturally happens, has happened long before there are people. It usually refers, of course, to what people are doing to change the climate by our own activities. I think another way is it's a subject that's big. It's a subject that can be scary, especially when we see people not taking it seriously or not doing things about it. But part of why I like it is it's a very exciting subject, and it's really actually very fun to learn about if you get to let people discover and do their exploration, not tell them about it, not say, well, you have to believe this, you have to see this, and that's fun. So it's an awfully big subject, but that also makes it a very exciting subject.
Okay, that's very interesting. So why is climate change important now? There's been climate change in the Ice Age and in many other periods. So why should we take action on it now?
Well, I think what we've learned with science and a lot of research over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years is awful lot about climate change. We didn't know, when we go back to, say, our parents or grandparents' ages, how much the planet has changed in say, the ice ages, when much of the planet was covered with ice, and how then it gets warmer and colder. We didn't know how much it changes just naturally. But what we've also learned is that humans are making the kind of changes that would usually happen over tens of thousands or even millions of years, that we're capable of making that kind of change in just our lifetime, that we're really affecting the planet. So it's one of, if we have responsibility for our planet, we need to know about it. Again, it's a very cool scientific subject. It's helping us discover things about the way the planet has been, how people have come to be, where we've moved around, but it has a lot to do with our choices in our life, and it will affect people for millions of years ahead. If we look ahead, if we care about the next generation, our next kids, it will affect what kind of a planet they have. I think that's what makes it important.
Okay, I get it. So why did you want to take action and teach people on climate change?
I think that if we're going to be careful about what we do about the climate, about what it is like where you are everywhere, when the seasons start and end. It has to be whether people themselves understand and they feel connected to it. If they feel there's nothing they can do, if that their understanding doesn't do anything, then they're not going to take They're not going to be able to do things that can help change things. They also aren't, they're not a part of the decisions. And I think it should be, everybody should be involved in this. It shouldn't be some people make the decisions and tell us what to think.
So can you tell us what your organization does and what are your current and future projects?
Sure. Well, we have done for many years, and we plan to do into the future, essentially two different areas. One is what's really pretty special about us is that we do hands-on demonstrations. We bring the tools of science out to the public, into classrooms, into the museums, into school, to the public events. The ability to actually do a lot of the science yourself, do experiments to make the discoveries. So it's not somebody telling you, well, this is what carbon dioxide does. This is where carbon dioxide comes from. This is how it can change how the ability of our planet, the air, to hold in heat from that first comes in from the sun and whether it can leave. Instead, you get to do it. You get to run the experiments like labs where you can see for yourself how it happens. You can discover it. That's the one thing we do, the hands-on demonstrations. The second thing we do is also needing to change a little over the years. When we started 12 years ago, there wasn't a lot of information for everybody, for the classrooms. We also didn't know as much about global warming and climate change back then. We've been a portal website, a place that classrooms, teachers, and the students in them can go to find great ways to bring into the classroom things about climate change for school projects, science fair projects, videos. We've been doing that for many years, and we'll continue to do it, but there's also a lot of information now. We also have to help, we also try to help in finding, sort out which resources really get the science correctly, they accurately portray what the scientists have said, and now there's information out there that isn't really very accurate, that it gets, that it's meant to kind of fool people, and we help to try to sort out which one those are. Those are the two things, hand demonstrations and our website.
Okay. That's great. What you guys are doing are amazing. So now, why do you think people are saying that climate change is real and some others are saying it's fake? So as kids, it is very challenging who to believe, so we really don't know.
Yes, and I think that's a lot why we think it's very important that there are people doing, we want people to do what we do around the world. That includes the hands-on demonstrations. In trying to figure out what's fake and what's not in science, there are a lot of things that you don't have to just trust somebody else. You don't have to trust a scientist. You don't have to trust a politician. You can see for yourself. You can do your own discoveries. And that's especially around a lot of the basics of whether global warming works or is true or not. That's what we try to bring out, that people can make up their own minds if they get to do some of their own experiments. We have a subject where there's a lot of reason why some people wouldn't want us to believe in climate change. They have a lot to lose in making money. They can make a lot of money. They can have a lot of political power if people don't accept what you can find out through evidence, through doing experiments. And I think that's a lot what drives that. There's a lot of information being spread to confuse people, to make them have questions. And there's a lot of people who are honest people who then have questions because they've heard all these doubts and questions. And I think the people who are honestly trying to figure out, well, let's do the experiments together and we'll see it. There are other people who will never convince them until everybody else believes it because they have so much reason to not believe it. They have so much money to be made and not do that. And we have to accept that. But it's fun actually to do the discoveries and see, yeah, oh wow, this really is true. This carbon dioxide really does warm up the atmosphere.
Okay, so is there anything you would like to tell the listeners before we end?
Well, let's see, a couple things. One is if your class, if you as a student have come up with a great science fair project, if you have done your own websites, if you've got your own projects, Let's help to share them with other students, other people around the world. They can learn from you. It's great to see what each have done. We try to help in doing that. Our globalwarmingkids.net website does that. The Green Kids website does it, the Green Kids Conference. These are places where we can learn from each other and find other projects that each have done. And that's one. The second one is to recommend when you are covering climate change together in the class. We really want to encourage you, do have some fun with it. Have some real great labs. Be sure to do some experiments. A lot of the equipment isn't that expensive. It makes it very exciting to see that carbon dioxide really traps heat, to see that carbon dioxide really does change the chemistry of oceans, how it can affect the coral reefs around the world. When you see how easy it has that change, one is it makes it an exciting subject. It's also that then when you're talking to other people or sharing it with people, it's not a matter of you're telling them what you think and what they're supposed to believe. You're sharing with them what just is. You're sharing with them something that they themselves can do. And you're being a scientist now. You're bringing in evidence. Be sure that you get to have that fun in your class.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Pavan. It was great to be here.
We learned a lot today, and you have helped us understand the importance of reducing our carbon footprint and why we need to all take action and help reduce climate change. I'm sure our audience will have more questions, so please visit climatechangeeducation.org and take action now. We should all be part of the solution to reduce climate change. Thank everyone for your time today. I'll be coming back to you with more reports, so please visit my organization's website, greenkidsnow.org, to learn more about how kids can take action.
Email us your ideas and messages to info@wwmn.net.
That was really interesting and sounds like some great ways to learn about climate change. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, it was really great. It showed that he said a negative but then showed the positive and showed that we can do it and gave us hope.
Yeah, I think it's really important, and climate change literally is change of the climate, and if we can change our climate for the worse, we can definitely change it for the better.
Yeah, I think it's pretty bad that some people try and convince others that climate change is fake for their business.
Yes, it's just disgusting.
You can check out more on the cool site climatechangeeducation.org. It's an excellent resource for everything you might want to know about climate change. And a huge thank you to Parvin and Mr. Jim Callahan for that great interview. Stay tuned for Parvin's next contribution to this show. So now it's time for this week's Wonder Words.
Coming up, it's time for this week's Wonder Words.
My Wonder Words relate to Parvin's interview on climate change. My first word is carbon sequestration. Carbon sequestration refers to the capture and long-term storage of carbon in forests and soils or in the oceans. For example, trees and other plants sequester or capture and absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere as they grow through the process of photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is a chemical process that converts carbon dioxide into organic compounds, especially sugars, using the energy from sunlight. Photosynthesis occurs in plants, algae, and many species of bacteria. Both carbon sequestration and photosynthesis play vital roles in reducing global warming.
And we really need more carbon sequestration happening right now to reduce the impact of climate change. That's for sure, Liam. My wonder word this week is squamata, which means scaly in Latin. This is the name scientists use for the reptile group that includes legged and legless lizards and snakes. Squamates are vertebrates, meaning animals with a backbone. Unlike mammals and birds, which generate their own body heat, most squamates are ectothermic, which means they use external heat sources to maintain a relatively constant body temperature. All squamates have scales and periodically shed their skin, and other kinds of animals do too. I think we may be hearing about a special squamate or two in our next segment.
I have another interesting wonder word that relates to reptiles as well, Jeremy. Dewlap. A dewlap is a flap of skin normally folded under the chin. They are common in lizards, where the hyoid bones are used to extend the dewlap rapidly. Green iguanas and frill-necked lizards both normally extend their dewlaps as an aggressive or defensive signal. The large surface area may also aid in heat absorption during sunbathing. Did you know that we humans also have a hyoid bone? The hyoid bone is the one and only bone of the throat. This horseshoe-shaped bone lies in between the chin and the thyroid ligament. The hyoid bone does not connect to any other bones and is the only bone in the human body that connects solely to ligaments. So that wraps it up for this week's Wonder Words. We will be right back after this rather chilling music break to speak with Steph from Animal Tracks.
Take your positions. Power. Lobsters. DJ. Clarinet.